Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Joining us now is TD Tron Davenport. TD, always appreciate your insight. Now, you were in Minnesota for the game on Saturday. What was your number one takeaway from Saturday night's game?
Well, the number one takeaway was Malik Willis didn't fully take advantage of the opportunity. There were some things he did well, but some things that I'm sure he would like to do better. So I think it was an opportunity for him to pull away from Will Levis, but he didn't do it convincingly.
TD is with us, and that's a very fair point. We were talking about this earlier, about where does the backup quarterback battle stand between those two? Because it was the Malik Willis show. He did have a wonderful opportunity. So where does this now place those two? And now what kind of opportunity should the Titans give Will Levis, assuming that he'll be healthy this week for the Patriots game?
Well, I don't think that Levis should play the whole game, but I think he should come out on the top end of the reps in that game. I think it should be similar to that 42-30 split that Willis had over Levis in the Bears game. That's probably the best way to look at it. And there are opportunities to really just examine that position and see how they're going to compete. It's running short, and it's going to be tough not having those joint practices, but if Levis is ready, he should definitely get more snaps on Saturday when the game is.
We'll talk with Tron Davenport, ESPN. Now, Tron, one guy that I'm starting to really watch that has shown up, I think, not only in practice but the last two games, Caleb Murphy had two sacks last night. He had two sacks the other night. He looks like one of those diamond in the rough guys, a guy that can you can put in situations and get to the passer. What are you seeing from him?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him. You know, I'm a fellow D2 football player, so I always love to shine being placed on that level of a player prospect. And I think, you know, when you look at Caleb Murphy coming out of Ferris State, he was a guy who was in high demand, and they were able to land him. And I think, you know, what I've seen from him is just the ability to understand that, hey, there's an uptick in opponent, but continue to just go out and do his thing. And, you know, you see him getting involved in practice. He has a really good first step coming off the edge. And you know, he used a spin move in that game against the Vikings to get one of his sacks. And for me, it's not just being a pass rusher. You see him playing the run as well. I think he's done a really good job of that. Whereas he, in that Vikings game, he set the edge, and then I think it was Eric Garrett came in and made the tackle on one of the running plays. And then you saw him run down the line and make a tackle on the opposite side. I think, you know, he's showing a guy that's transitioning well from you know, Division II, and then also someone who feels that he belongs. And I think that's really important. And picking some of the things up, you see him working with Artie Key, you know, and Coach Ryan Crow along with Coach Lo Locus. So there's definitely been improvement, and I'm happy to see that because I like what he brings to the table.
Now, the receiving core, do you think they took a slight step backwards? Now, Mason Kinsey had a decent game this past weekend, but he has shown up the last 2 weeks. Now that Kyle Phillips goes down, this may open up a path for him at making a team. But what did you see from the receivers? Because it just seems like they were, other than Racy McMath getting a long gainer, they were not much of a part in this past weekend's game.
Yeah, they weren't a big part. I would say from the practice perspective, Gavin Holmes is a guy that I'm seeing start to come along, and I would imagine that when Will Levis comes back, he'll be really happy because he and Levis have connected a lot over the last week or so. So he's someone that I think will have an opportunity. Colton Dowell, you know, he didn't play in the game, which was disappointing. And obviously that was, you know, because of an injury, he left practice one of the days. Was it Thursday? He left practice early. So you definitely want to see, like, knowing that the attributes and traits that he brings, you want to see him get an opportunity to compete and get healthy to do so. So those are a couple guys. I tell you one thing also, Reggie Robertson, you know, we're seeing him a lot in practice, but you're not seeing as much in games. And that's something not to be alarmed by, but to wonder, okay, what's not transferring over to game day? Because he's having outstanding practices.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, I got to thinking about this as I was watching Tierre Tartt. Every single play he was on the field, it seemed like, just disrupt everything. He was in the backfield. He was very noticeable out there. He's really turned into a good player. I think back through the years of a lot of defensive linemen that go from relative unknown to being a guy that would be a pretty attractive free agent here pretty soon. I wonder if the Titans have the ability to sign him to the next contract and how expensive he's going to be.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure how expensive he's going to be or if they'll be able to sign him, but I know that they really like him and they want him to ascend as a pass rusher. And you saw a couple really good rushes from him, like you said, against the Vikings, and that's an area. It's conditioning. You know, they want him to get his conditioning better. That way he could play more snaps also. But they're going to have a rotation regardless. I think they do try to bring him back, but that price is going to have to be right. And he and Simmons, they're a pretty solid tandem, especially when it comes to doing something that they pride themselves on, and that's stopping the run.
I was reading today about Ryan Stonehouse, and I notice a lot of times Mike Vrabel sort of couching. It's so easy to see Stonehouse just boom the ball. He can do it. But they have had some problems covering the kicks. It's the old adage of outkick the coverage. It does happen sometimes. And so do you think he's making some progress in that? Is that the next level for him?
Yeah, the next level is to get more hang time on those punts. Like, it's all good to kick it, punt it 70 yards, but if you punt it 70 yards and, you know, the returner gets it before the covers, then that's a problem. And that's something that he's working on. And, you know, he had a few 4.5 to 5 second hang time punts out there in Minnesota during those joint practices. So, man, I got to sneeze. I feel it coming. Excuse me. So he had those. But the other thing that they want him to do also is get better with the directional side of things as well. So that's something that he's working on.
TD is with us. TD, what was the latest that you've heard on Kyle Phillips? You know, taken down right, you know, when he caught that punt. I'm getting worried about Kyle Phillips and his ability to stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries that he's had are I mean, it's typical injuries that you know, I mean, a hamstring,
yeah,
the shoulder. You know, a lot has been made about him gaining weight to supposedly avoid injury, and I talked to him about that, and that wasn't necessarily the case. He's putting on the weight, and if you look at him next time you're there at practice, look at his body. The weight is mostly in his legs. You know what I mean? It's not as much in the upper body. It's in his legs because he wants to be able to power through those arm tackles and, you know, those type of things that you encounter in the middle of the field. As far as that injury, though, I haven't heard anything. You know, they're very tight about those injuries, any reports and things like that.
Yeah, and also, to what extent, like, if you can put on 100 pounds, but if somebody comes for your knees, you know, however much you weigh, isn't really going to do anything about it. But last one for you, TD. The Patriots cancel the joint practices with the Tennessee Titans. Scary scene on the field with Isaiah Bolden, their rookie corner. What do you think that this means for Mike Vrabel and his plan, not just for the week of practices, but the preseason game on Friday night as well?
Well, yeah, that's something that Mike Vrabel spoke about. And he mentioned Howard Landry is a guy that may end up playing on game day, which is understandable because it's been so long since he has played. So with those valuable joint practice reps, which are in essence game reps for a lot of the starters and regular players, with those being taken away now, you may see some of those guys get some action, at least a series or two on game day. So I think that's the way it affects it. And it's tough because, you know, in talking to a lot of the players last week, one of the things, especially Jeffrey Simmons, what he liked was getting to see different sets and different skills from the opposition as opposed to what he's continuously going against with his teammates, you know, namely Daniel Brunskill. Those guys go at it pretty much all at camp, you know. So I think that's something that's taken away also, and that's something that they have to try to make up. And when you're able to get those, like, those one-minute periods, like, they would put 1 minute on the clock and, you know, see how these guys can react down by six. And when you're taking those things away, going, like, free call-it-type periods, it definitely hurts. So that's something that they'll have to make up.
Yeah, absolutely. Valuable reps they're not going to get this week in joint practices with the Patriots. But TD, appreciate your insight. We'll chat soon.
Yeah, for sure. Talk to you later.
Awesome. Thanks, TD. Terron Davenport, he is the very best. We'll react to what TD had to say coming up next. Hey, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mays is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
First of all, I guess, how much do you think they've helped their own confidence with these two games? And do you feel like they need to get another good chunk of work Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I do think they need more work. I mean, you know, they got this about the same amount of plays as they got the first game. It just took them three drives to get there. And Coach Vrabel was right afterwards. He said, you know, look, you know, it's not always easy at first. Sometimes you got to work through stuff and figure it out. And they also had to drop past, I think, on the first two drives I think Chig dropped one early that cost him a big chunk of yardage. I think moving the football, having two touchdowns, you know, they haven't had to settle for field goals and they didn't get two or three first downs and punt. They've been able to finish off two drives. And I do think that has to be good for some of their confidence. And I think for the whole group, because that backup group looked pretty rough in Chicago. I think for the whole group to rush for 280 yards, you know, was a big confidence boost. Now, you know, there was a play in the first quarter there where Chris Hubbard got beat like he wasn't even there.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, there was some heat on Malik Willis. So, you know, that group, you know, needs to continue to progress, but showing they can move the ball. And you know, they did create some good pockets for him as well. You know, I know we all have the bar incredibly low for that group, and it's understandable, you know, why. And I don't think, you know, any questions have been answered other than, okay, yes, it can function here in the preseason. So there is some reasonable expectation that, you know, when the regular season gets here, you know, these guys are going to be able to move the football. You know, to what level, I don't know. But, you know, they clearly have room to grow. I feel a lot better about the interior of the group than I do the exterior, which has to continue to get better.
That was Corey Curtis, News 2, on with Robbie and Rexro this morning. Appreciate TD for stopping by, hanging out with us in the last segment. And kind of the sentiment that Corey expressed there. There are some aspects of this Titans team that through 2 weeks I feel better about I might feel a little bit better about the offensive line. I mean, I'm not all of a sudden just writing that off as a strength for this team or something that I'm not going to be focusing on, because I absolutely am going to be watching the offensive line throughout this week of practice and the preseason game on Friday and then, of course, throughout the regular season. But I like what I've seen from the limited work that the first-team offensive line has gotten over the last two preseason games. Mm-hmm. The run game looks promising. There have been some fringe guys that I think have solidified their spots on the 53-man roster. Like, I think Julius Chestnut, you can lock him in on this 53-man roster. But I still do have a whole lot of questions about this team and what it can be. And I think it all goes back to the quarterback position. Malik Willis showed us some good things on Saturday night. But like TD told us in the last segment, he got an opportunity. And I don't know if he necessarily took it and completely, ran with the opportunity. Because I think we all would have been grateful if we could stand up here today and say Malik Willis has solidified himself as the backup quarterback for this team. And I don't feel that way.
But would you really? It would be a double-edged sword, wouldn't it, that it's that easy for him to do it? Would that not have a little bit of disappointment in Levis? Like, I fully expected going in that it will continue to seesaw back and forth. There'll be some ebbs and flows. Like, I hope he's not way ahead of Will Levis. That'd be disappointing for Levis. Yeah,
for Will Levis' sake, but I think just for the team's sake, I would have felt a lot better had there been one of the two quarterbacks, whether it be Levis or Willis, that looked like they were just taking the opportunity and fully running with it, or that there was a backup quarterback that we felt really confident in. I don't feel that way about either quarterback.
Well, I mean, we may not feel that way, but the coaching staff may have a good idea of who their backup is at this point, and they feel good about it. So I would have loved to see, because Levis didn't play, I would have loved to see Malik Willis, like, just really grab hold of that backup position, that second quarterback position. I think he's in the lead now, but there's still this sense of, okay, he still has some things to work on. There's still, like you said, Willie, with the touch, he has to sort of develop that. And I think that, too, is sort of, was Will Levis's knock, that he always wanted to throw a fastball. He has to learn how to put some touch on the ball. But I would have loved to see Malik Willis sort of, okay, this is my spot. I'm taking it and I'm running with it. Levis, you got to play catch up. But he didn't, and he still leaves that door open. I'm not saying it's wide open, but it's open enough where, if Will Levis is healthy, he goes out and play in the preseason, if he plays well, then they may rethink the second quarterback job heading into the regular season. But I think right now it's Willis's job. I'm encouraged by what I saw from the offensive line. I think this game upcoming, I think they need to play well, and I think they need to play through halftime and possibly even a little bit more than that. Because if that offensive line, and we got to remember, they haven't been going against necessarily starters on the defensive side of the ball.
Right, that's another thing.
Exactly.
That
so that's why I want to see them play a little bit longer this upcoming preseason game, because that defensive front of New England is a good defense. They had a damn good defense.
It's a good
New England. Yeah. So I want to see them play a little bit longer against New England. But I feel good by what I've seen. Disappointed in Chig. I'm going to keep saying that. I am highly disappointed in Chig. I think it was just a one-game thing. I still believe he's going to have a tremendous season.
For his sake, I hope it's a one-game thing.
Yeah, but I'm disappointed in him because he's one of the guys. He can't – being a guy with his talent, his ability, I know we have games like that. But, Chig can't, because there's nobody else behind him with his talent. And if he – can't get it going, or if something happens to him, damn. Behind him, I'm not confident at all with what's behind him.
JV squad.
Exactly. So there are some things that I'm encouraged about, some things I'm not. Defense, I think, you know, for the most part, because we haven't really saw the starters, I think the defense would be fine. But I am worried about the backup tight end position. I am worried about the receivers, you know, and I am worried about, you know, that offensive line playing against starters, defensive starters. We've seen them look good, but that wasn't against who they're going to face week in and week out.
There's not a lot of buzz about this team outside of Nashville. It's not like anything they're doing is catching the attention of the people on the national shows.
Even signing DeAndre Hopkins didn't even
not really. It didn't at the time, yeah. And it certainly hasn't since then.
Right.
And it's probably not going to. They're going to have to be a little bit of a surprise team. They're going to need guys like Chig, guys like Hopkins to reach their ceiling potential for them to be good. I have a question for the week. Maybe we throw it out on the other side here, but ponder this. Would you give Levis a chance with the first offensive line?
We'll get into that on the other side, and of course your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, really, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Welcome.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Before we get to the question that Willie asked our listeners at the break, I want to give something away. So text in the keyword Doobie to see the Doobie Brothers at First Bank Amphitheater on August 31st. Right now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of tickets. Again, that is keyword Doobie, D-O-O-B-I-E, to see the Doobie Brothers at First Bank Amphitheater on August 31st. Good luck with that. But Willie, I want to get into your question that you asked the listeners before the break.
Yeah, what do you guys think? Will Levis has not had a chance to play with the first line. So you had all of this stuff change on a dime where you thought, okay, I can look at all this stuff in these joint practices. I could go down the list and have Will Levis do it if you wanted on Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever they're going to do this.
Right.
Now all you got to work with is Friday. Does that change? Especially with the injury thrown in there. I know this. I would like to see Will Levis, what it would look like with the more or less the starters you're willing to play.
And that's why I would, if Will Levis can play, we don't know, you know, the extent of the injury. Will it keep him out of practice? It doesn't seem like it will, and it doesn't seem like it keep him out of the game. But that's why I would love to see the offensive line play till halftime or through halftime, so you can get both quarterbacks. You start off with Will Levis. Let him get some, you know, maybe a full quarter or some series. If you want to continue to go back to this alternating series, then I do believe that Will Levis should get the bulk of the run with the first team offense. Not to say that Willis shouldn't get anybody. He's gotten, I think, a lot of the first team with the first team offensive line. So to make it sort of fair playing field, I think if Will Levis can play, then he should get the bulk of the run with the first team offense. So I would love to see that, just to sort of see where he's at in his you know, sort of processing of the game and giving him an opportunity to sit behind an offensive line that's going to actually block.
I think he absolutely should. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I thought that it was crazy that he didn't even get a series with the first team offensive line in the first preseason game. And from the offensive line's perspective, I understood it when Terrell Williams was in as the head coach on Saturday against the Bears. It was, you know, a 12 snap series to open the game. They got some good work. They didn't give up a sack. They didn't give up a whole lot of pressure. So good job, offensive line. You did your job. Now you're out. You can, you know, hang on the sidelines. I understood from the offensive line perspective, but from the backup quarterback competition perspective, I wanted to see both of them at least on as even of a playing field as possible, because Malik Willis, I think, had his best work against the Bears with that first team offensive line. I would have liked to have seen what Will Levis could have done with the first team offensive line if you really want to observe them on a fair scale. So I think absolutely Will Levis should get some work with the first-team offensive line because he hasn't been able to. I want to see what he's able to do with that. I think the real question is, do you let Will Levis have the full game on Friday night against the Patriots? Because I know that Malik Willis got the full game with different circumstances since Will Levis wasn't able to go on Saturday with his injury. But I think that's the question. How long do you let Will Levis go? Do you give him the full game? Do you start with a full quarter and then you alternate quarters? Because I liked seeing the alternating series against the Bears, but I think now I want to see something different. I want to see how each of these quarterbacks can take command fully of the offense for a big chunk of time. So I would even – TD said he didn't want to see Will Levis for a full game. I think that there's a fair argument for that.
If you're not going to play Tannehill at all, then I think – I'd love to see Will Levis for the first half. And then you can play Willis in the second
half. I don't think
they're
doing that. I don't think they would do that.
Half and then half?
Yeah, I don't think that. I think they still want to get.
You still think they'll alternate him to some degree?
I don't know about that, but I still do believe that both quarterbacks are going to play throughout the game.
Okay.
It's going to. I don't know if it's going to be every other series, Willie, but I think it will. You're going to see both quarterbacks play the whole game. That's if Will Levis is, you know, healthy enough to go out there and play. But I do believe he does need an opportunity to sit behind an offensive line, and not necessarily really an offensive line, but Tajay Spears in the backfield. You know.
More
starters playing around him to see how he processes the game. He's still going to have his hiccups, but is it better than what it was when he wasn't playing with the starters? And then you sort of go back and forth with Malik as well as Will Levis. Will Levis. Will Levis. Oh, you can go to Mason Kinsey, too, if you want to run some option stuff, but – No, I think if Will Levis is healthy, I think you give both guys an opportunity. You give Will Levis a little bit more of an opportunity than probably Willis. But, you know, it's like one of those things where you can't sort of take away from Willis just because Levis was hurt. Now, it's not Willis's fault, but you do want to give Will Levis an opportunity to play behind the first team like you did Willis.
And that's kind of what I struggle with, is because I hear you of, well, you're not going to just take like snaps away from Malik Willis just because Will Levis was injured this past week. But I could also say, well, Malik Willis had the opportunity, whether it was because of injury or not. He had the opportunity, and we saw what he was able to do with it. So now give Levis that opportunity. We have one texter in our personal text line, the suit himself, says, give Tannehill a series or two. If Mahomes and Rodgers can do it, so can he. Thank you.
Hey, I'm with it.
Thank you. I am all for putting Tannehill in there for a few series.
I feel like this is going to be a poll of the week, because it was on Robbie and Rex wrote a lot this morning, that sentiment, and Joe was kind of giving the counter argument, going down the list of teams that are not playing their starting quarterbacks, but there are a fair amount of highly established quarterbacks that are getting a little bit of work in. So, to me, I'm not going to bellyache about it either way. If they decide to, great. If they don't, fine. It's not a huge deal to me. I do side on getting out there, getting a little rhythm with the starters, play a series or two. I think there's a benefit to that. I would vote for that. I was voting that for the first game, so I can't change now. I'm going to stay consistent. But if they decide not to do it and they just keep rolling the way they're doing it, I'm not going to sit there and go, what were they thinking? I'm not going to be that guy.
I just don't expect it. Because that's what you see. I mean, Tannehill hasn't played in the preseason since 2019 when he was the backup quarterback going into that season. So I'm not going to hold my breath and say that now this season, all of a sudden, things are going to be different. But you do have a whole lot of new pieces on the offensive line. You have a new offensive coordinator. And you're not getting the joint practice work that you thought that you were going to get this week with the Patriots. So just throw Tannehill in there for a few series. Let him get that confidence. Let him continue to build that rapport. I think it would benefit this team greatly. It would benefit Tannehill greatly. If nothing else, build the confidence a little bit. Get him in there for a few series. Move the ball. Move the chains. Maybe even score. And he comes off thinking, all right, we are ready for this season. I'm for it. I am all for
well,
it.
I mean, if I wouldn't be surprised if they put him out there for a series. And I wouldn't be surprised if they chose to not put him out there. I think this is sort of, you know, the dilemma they're in, unlike some of these other teams, excuse me, is one, you know, what we planned on happening isn't happening anymore because of the New England Patriots choosing not to have the joint practices. Okay, I get that. But even though we may want to see Ryan Tannehill out there with the first team offense, you know, they're in a different position because if their offense isn't good enough, from what we've seen, isn't good enough that if our quarterback goes out there, my starting quarterback goes out there and he gets hurt, we're not good enough to make up for that.
Well, whose team offenses, is good enough to make up for an injured starting quarterback?
Some offenses are good enough because of their skilled players, like just offense period, good enough to survive and play and still win games. I look at, for instance, the Jets, because they popped up on television. Well, they're always on television.
Well, Aaron Rodgers played in the preseason.
No, what I'm saying is if Aaron Rodgers, Lord, don't let him go down, and I hate even saying that, but say if he goes down, that offense, from a skilled player perspective, is still good enough to win games.
With Zach Wilson?
Zach Wilson looked damn good in the preseason. But look at their weapons that they have on offense. They have high-caliber weapons on offense, and they're all young. Running back, receivers, tight end, they're all young. So much so that Corey Davis may be gone because he can't even get in the rotation. They don't want Aaron Rodgers to go down, Lord forbid that. But if he did go down for a game or two, because of their skilled players, they're still able to continue to do what they're doing. Because, you know, the quarterback, Wilson, he seems to be catching on now.
With Zach Wilson, the Jets are a 7-10 team. With Aaron Rodgers, they could be 12-5.
Yeah, but I even think they're probably a 9-win team with Wilson now, because Wilson's different. From what I've seen, that kid's different from what he was last year. Much different. I don't know if it's because of the Aaron Rodgers effect. I don't know what it is, but he's a much different quarterback now. But the Titans are not in that position where we just got playmakers everywhere. And if our quarterback go down, we hate it, but we can still survive. Well, if our quarterback goes down, we've seen it already. If our quarterback goes down, that defense, they need to be the number one defense in the NFL.
And that still might not even be good enough.
Exactly. So, I mean, do I want him to play? Yes. But, man, if he goes down, wow.
Can't play football scared?
I know you can't, but I can play cautious.
Cannot play scared. Cannot play scared.
I can play cautious before the season starts.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your texts on this coming up next. Plus, one more thing that I'm still worried about after Saturday. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Tune into the Chase McCabe Show and our show, Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace, tomorrow as we broadcast live from Titans training camp. We'll get player interviews and deliver the latest updates with the Titans practice as the team preps for the 2023 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, Caudill Vet Clinic, and the new Cumberland Development. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. It is the Monday after a Titans game, so today is your day. We've done enough talking. Now it is time for you to do the talking. We'll get to your thoughts, your calls, your text. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter texts in, says, I would love if we had the number one defense to shut ESPN up, racing our defense 24. I don't know what that means, but I'm guessing that this texter is saying that ESPN is not really giving the Titans defense a whole lot of credit. I think they're ranked the 24th either team or defense right now on ESPN.com.
I was listening to a podcast, a national podcast, on The Ringer. they listed their top five defenses. They even mentioned they talked about the five defenses in depth, and then they mentioned 6 through 10, even some honorable mention. Neither person mentioned the Titans at all.
That's
at all
surprising.
It's not surprising to me. Outside of our area, I just think that this is what we're seeing. There's just no Titans discussion. It's a team that is not on the radar.
I do wonder.
Not even on defense, where I think we all sit there. They have one of the most dominant players in the game.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They have an excellent safety. They have a very good defensive front. There should be an argument for a top 10 defense. It's not being made.
When you're looking at.
Not outside of here.
From a national perspective, I do wonder, what do they look at? Are you looking at star power? Are you looking at that one elite player? Are you looking at what they did this past season? Are you looking at, you know, do you have a defensive head coach or not? Because when you look at those qualifications, well, the Titans have a defensive head coach in Mike Vrabel. The Titans have a star on the defensive line in Jeffrey Simmons. What else are you looking at? Is it personnel? Is it scheme? Is it what they've already done? Is it when you look at the upcoming schedule? Because I don't know how many of them, Willie, because I haven't listened to the podcast, how many listed Washington?
Mm-hmm. Just outside the top 10.
I think Washington had a very dominant defensive front.
Yes. Washington was mentioned on the periphery of the top 10, but was not in the top 10. These are just two guys that are doing it. I mean, you could have two other guys that might throw them in there, but the Titans were not mentioned. Mm-hmm. The Commanders were mentioned.
I think it may be, from this standpoint, as good as that defensive line was, and I believe is, you still got to take into account they are working in, three or four new starters to that defense. And then, again, as good as that front seven was, they still were horrible in the back end. They still were not a good pass defense, even with a stout defensive line,
uh-huh.
Which tells me your back end isn't that good, or they're not as healthy as they need to be. Now, we know the injury history.
True.
Yeah, and I think both are true. So I think until that secondary shows that they can play on close to the same level, if not the same level, as that defensive line, then I think teams are still going to, or, you know, individuals still may have sort of that team, that defense outside of one of the most dominating defenses in the NFL this season. I think if you just ask them about their defensive front, there's no question they are a top 10 defensive front.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that good defensive front, their secondary still gave up too many big plays.
Fair to say.
Fair.
That's probably if you were to ask those people about mm-hmm. that defense, that's the answer you would mm-hmm. get.
And I will say, when it comes to, you know, preseason rankings, who cares? You know, if Tennessee's not going to be mentioned in the conversation, fine. Because your ranking preseason is not as important as the ranking in the middle of the season or postseason. Because
mm-hmm.
if the Titans aren't going to be named on a Ringer podcast, the top five or top 10 defense going into the season, fine. The only thing that matters to me is if this unit can be or is a top five or top 10 unit at the end of the season. We know this, unfortunately. I think Titans fans know this better than anyone, that the Titans don't get the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
That when you're talking about ranking teams, I don't think on a national level the Titans are necessarily a name that comes up when you're talking about, you know, best units or when you're talking about the best possible teams or contenders for the Super Bowl. They're just not. They never really have been, and I don't know when or if that's going to change. But when you're talking about preseason, who cares? Make them notice in the middle of the season. But for right now, it's just talk and it's just chatter and it's just prediction, which is really, you know, your guess is as good as mine is as good as theirs.
Yeah. You just hope that, you know, again, I'm not necessarily worried about the defensive front. I do think that, you know, those guys, whether it's, you know, Monty Rice, Arden Key, Aziz, you know, those guys got to show up early. That's even if Monty Rice is the starter. But those guys got to show up early. And then we got to see what does Harold Landry look like at the beginning of the season. I would be surprised if he, you know, hit the ground running. I would be surprised. I'm looking for him to come on more so in the middle to the end of the season. And that maybe when it counts for them, maybe they can sort of play around it play around here for a while until he gets going. But I think those are sort of the unknowns right now. You don't worry about the defensive front necessarily, the three guys, but you worry about those linebackers because you're ushering in two to three new starters and your best pass rusher in Harold Landry is coming off an ACL.
Which I think is a net positive for this defensive front, too, that you're getting Harold Landry back. Mm-hmm. Mike texts in about the backup quarterback battle conversation. Says if Malik could have left Levis way behind, wouldn't he have? Well, I would like to think so, but that's the question. Is he, if he could have, wouldn't he have? Mm-hmm. If he had the opportunity to separate himself from the pack, I think he would have if he could have.
Yeah, but again, just want to caution everybody. What we think and what the team think may be totally two different things. We think that Malik Willis had an opportunity to sort of run with it, take it and run with it, and he didn't. He sort of took it and trotted with it and still giving Will Levis an opportunity to catch up. The organization may be thinking, okay, he's far enough ahead. We feel good about Malik Willis, if indeed we had to go to him this season. We hope we don't, but if we did, we feel better because of the things he's shown, so he's our second quarterback. They may be thinking that way, but obviously we're thinking he had an opportunity to, you know, go with it, and he just hasn't. He hasn't played horrible, but he hasn't played to a level where we believe he's, you know, solidified himself as the backup quarterback when the season starts.
He has not made a giant leap. He's made some strides. But remember how low the bar was at the end of last year. They swapped him out for Josh Dobbs. They swapped him out for Josh Dobbs.
He's made improvements, and there's improvements left to be made.
Yes, and they drafted Will Levis for a reason. So I think that I'm swaying a little bit. Let me see a little bit more of Levis, and let's see where we're at after that.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at training camp at 11 a.m. Stillman and Company's up next.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.